This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope, the audio broadcast ministry of Pastor Rick Warren. Today we continue with a series called How God Turns Setbacks into Comebacks. We're so glad that you've joined us today. Now, if you know someone who needs some encouragement right now, be sure to invite them with a text or a phone call to listen along with you. Now, in just a few minutes, we're going to tell you how you can get a very special set of Bible scripture cards, hand-selected by Pastor Rick to bolster your sense of gratitude and increase your happiness. You can find out more by going to PastorRick.com while you listen to today's message. If you want, you can just text the word HOPE to 800-600-5004 for more information. That's the word HOPE to 800-600-5004. Right now, here's Pastor Rick with part two of a message called When Others Keep Setting You Back.
Genesis 37, verses 26 to 28 says this: after they threw Joseph in the pit, the brothers sat down to eat dinner. They're just going to ignore it. But then they saw a caravan of traders passing by, headed to Egypt, with camels loaded down with spices and balm and myrrh. Balm is like medicine that they would use, and myrrh is used for embalming. I remember they gave Jesus myrrh at his birth, which was a symbol of he was going to die one day. Then Judah, who's another one of the older brothers, said to his brothers, "Hey guys, we won't gain anything if we just let our brother die in this pit. So, you know, why don't we make some money on this? And we'll all share in the murder cover-up. So why don't we do this? Let's don't kill him. Let's sell off our brother to these traders. We'll make some money here." And all the brothers thought that was a good idea. Okay, let me stop right here. All the brothers thought that was a good idea. The majority is often wrong. Just because everybody's doing it doesn't mean it's the right thing to do. Just because everybody thinks it's right doesn't make it right. Right is right if it's right. Wrong is wrong if it's wrong. Doesn't matter how many people say something's right. Morality is not determined by majority. All the brothers thought it was a good thing. Yeah, well, they were all wrong. So they sold Joseph for 20 shekels. Now, let me stop here. They sold Joseph for 20 shekels of traders. In the book of Exodus, it tells us that slaves were sold in those days for 30 shekels. So they're not even making going rate. They sell him for a bargain. They sell their brother for 20 shekels. That's not even what a normal slave would be paid. They sold Joseph for 20 shekels to the traders who took him to Egypt. This is just getting worse. Now, this is pretty callous. But you know, today in the business world, selling out for money happens all the time. Partners sell out partners. Some of you have had a partner cheat on you or sell you out. Bosses sell out their employees. Managers sell out those who work under their care. Owners sell out their companies to make a profit. Relationships are often tossed away quickly in order to make a buck. Some people even walk out of marriages in order to make more money. But here's something I want you to notice. The brothers have the wrong motive for what they're doing. Okay, they said, "We're going to make some money, so let's sell our brother into slavery." And the consequences are going to be incredibly painful to Joseph. In fact, they're going to alter the rest of his life. But in spite of the fact, wrong thing to do, wrong motivation, but God fitted it into a plan for good. And this setback where he's sold into slavery is actually going to be a stepping stone to Joseph's future glory and greatness. We'll come to that in a minute. Now, the fourth setback that Joseph experiences is this: losing your identity. You know, being secretly sold and taken away to a foreign country is going to erase Joseph's identity. Back home, everybody's going to think he's dead. People are going to mourn him. And in their minds, Joseph no longer exists. In their minds, his life is over. The Joseph they know is gone. His identity has been erased. Verse 31 to 35 says this: then the brothers took Joseph's robe, the bedazzled one, and they slaughtered a goat, and they dipped the robe in blood. This is quite a system here. And then they took the robe back to their father and said, "Now we found this coat. Does it belong to your son?" Now notice they didn't say, "Does it belong to our brother?" It's your son, not our brother. "Does it belong to your son?" And Jacob recognized it and cried out, "Yes, Yes, some wild animal must have killed Joseph and torn him to pieces. Then Jacob sobbed. He sobbed for a long time, and everybody tried to comfort him, and he said, "I'll grieve this loss until the day I die." You know, this next setback may be one that some of you've had. You've had your identity stolen from you, and you're still grieving about it. You lost your identity when the divorce happened. You lost your identity as a husband. You lost your identity as a wife. You lost your identity as a father. You lost your identity as a mother. You lost your job. You lost your identity as a CEO or as a small business owner. And something that you found your identity in was taken from you, and you're never going to get it back. I'm sorry. As your pastor who loves you, I'm sorry. That is a big setback. But the setback does not have to be the end of the story. And as we've seen over and over again in this series with different people, now we're seeing with Joseph, that is not the end of the story. Joseph is going to be given a brand new identity, an even better identity. Now here's the fifth setback that Joseph faced: being forced to take a job you don't want. Many of you know that one. You couldn't find the job you wanted, and you've had to take a job and settle for less than the best. You know, in a matter of days, Joseph goes from being a pampered son in his father's home to being a slave in somebody else's home. He's now doing work he never expected to do. He's now spending his days in ways he never expected in a foreign country. He's an immigrant. He's an indentured slave. Verse 39 says this: "Meanwhile, in Egypt, the traders sold Joseph to be a slave of Potiphar, a man who was an officer of Pharaoh, the king of Egypt."
You're listening to Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. Rick will be back in just a moment with the rest of today's lesson. You can sign up for Pastor Rick's free email devotional at PastorRick.com. That's PastorRick.com.
Do you want to be happier, healthier, and more resistant to stress? Then you need to develop an attitude of gratitude. In fact, the Bible says we're to rejoice always, pray continually, and give thanks in all circumstances. But it can often be difficult to feel grateful. So to help you, Pastor Rick hand-selected 52 verses to bolster your sense of gratitude and increase your happiness. This set of beautifully designed cards will help you memorize scripture so you can recall God's word when you need it the most. You can also use them to minister to others. Give one to a friend and write a personalized note of encouragement on the back. If a scripture really speaks to you, frame it. Put them in places where you can read them during the day for encouragement. And today, when you give a gift to help Daily Hope take the hope of Jesus to a world in need, we'll send you the gratitude scripture card set to say thanks. Go to PastorRick.com right now to get your copy, or you can call 800-600-5004. That's PastorRick.com or call 800-600-5004. Thank you so much for your support, and don't forget to let us know which radio station you heard us on. There's only 2 days left to get this great resource, so don't wait.
And now, here's Pastor Rick Warren with the second half of today's lesson.
In a matter of days, Joseph goes from being a pampered son in his father's home to being a slave in somebody else's home. He's now doing work he never expected to do. He's now spending his days in ways he never expected in a foreign country. He's an immigrant. He's an indentured slave. Verse 39 says this: "Meanwhile, in Egypt, the traders sold Joseph to be a slave of Potiphar, a man who was an officer of Pharaoh, the king of Egypt." Now, it may be that right now some of you are in a job that you really don't want to do, you don't like to do, you wish you didn't have to do, you wish you were doing something somewhere else. And the job you're in right now feels like slave labor. It feels demeaning. It's not what you used to be doing, and it feels like a setback. And many of you probably can identify with Joseph and how he felt. He's going, I didn't sign up for this. But you know, whatever Joseph did and wherever he went, he did the best he could with what he had for Jesus Christ, for God. He served with a whole heart. And he did the best he could, trying to honor God with good work and good character. In fact, in this case, he takes demeaning work, the work of a slave, and he gave it meaning. He took demeaning work and gave it meaning. How? By doing it for God instead of for a human master. He saw God as his boss, not humans as his boss. And he took every task with the attitude of, I'm going to do this for God. And so his excellence stood out, and he actually started getting promoted by his master. But his boss's wife had other plans, and that leads us to the sixth setback. And the sixth setback in Joseph's life was being punished for doing the right thing. Being punished for doing the right thing. Some of you had this happen to you. You know, sometimes we have problems because we did the wrong thing, and we brought the problem on ourselves. But there are other times where we have problems for doing the right thing, and that's what happened to Joseph. He's falsely accused, actually, of rape. You know, these days, I'm grateful for the Me Too movement that's shining a light on sexual assault and sexual abuse and sexual harassment, because these are real issues, and they need to be stopped. They need to be brought out into the light. And Saddleback has always been a defender of the defenseless. Unfortunately, this is not a new problem. It's been around since the beginning of time. And in Genesis 39, it says there in verses, 18 and 19, now Joseph was well-built. That's what the Bible says. Joseph was well-built and very handsome. And after a while, his master's wife took notice. She says, he's well-built and handsome. And she began to lust for him. And she begged Joseph, come to bed with me. But Joseph refused, saying, how could I do such an evil thing and sin against God and my master? That's integrity. And though she tempted Joseph day after day, he refused to go to bed with her or even be alone with her. He's setting the parameters in his life. He wouldn't even be alone with her. But one day, when Joseph was working inside the house, none of the household servants were inside, so Potiphar's wife came up behind him and grabbed Joseph by his tunic, demanding, sleep with me right now. But Joseph resisted, and he wriggled out of his tunic and ran outside. I mean, he's running. Now, when she saw that she still had his tunic in her hand, she just made up this story for the other servants. Look, the Hebrew slave tried to assault me, but I screamed. She did no such thing. So he ran out of the house, but he left his tunic here. And when her husband came home, she gave him the same story. Now, Potiphar, his boss, burned with anger when he heard his wife's accusations. And he arrested Joseph on the spot and dragged him off and threw him into the king's prison. Oh, wow. He's done nothing wrong. He's done nothing but serve his master. He's shown integrity. He's done the right thing. And now he gets thrown into prison. Joseph's life for 13 years is going down, 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 one setback after another. He goes from the pit to the traitors to Egypt to slavery, and now he's in prison. That's not what you call upward mobility. He's having one setback to another. None of these are his fault. What do you do when the setbacks are being caused by other people? Every one of these setbacks in his life, he didn't cause. Every one of these setbacks in his life were caused by somebody else who was out to get him. There was one more that happened. So this last setback that Joseph faced is being forgotten by people that you have helped. Now, this has probably happened to you too, being forgotten by people you've helped. Joseph gets thrown into prison, and in prison he starts serving God by serving others in prison, you know, having integrity, having humility, serving with honor, and he quickly gets promoted to being the top prisoner in the prison. And while he's there, he meets a couple of guys from Pharaoh's court who've been thrown in prison, a wine steward and a baker who are both from a personal assistance to Pharaoh. And to make a story short, he interprets a couple dreams. He gets to know these two guys. And when he interprets a dream, Joseph says this to one of them. Joseph said to the king's wine steward, when you are freed from prison and you are restored to your position with Pharaoh, please show kindness to me, because he had shown kindness to this guy. Please show kindness to me and remember to mention me to the king so I too can get out of this prison. I was forcibly kidnapped from my homeland, and now I'm stuck in this prison, even though I've done nothing to deserve this. But the wine steward never gave Joseph another thought. He forgot all about him. Now, that's the kicker. He just totally forgets. So Joseph is left to rot in prison, even after he's helped a guy he didn't need to help. But this guy forgets him. You have helped people in your life, and they've forgotten that. And when you needed help, they didn't help you back. One setback after another. I'm sure you've identified with one or more of these seven setbacks. Most of these, and all of them combined, would have made anybody probably just give up. But Joseph didn't give up on his dream. God had told him he was going to do great things with his life. God had told him he was going to make a difference with his life. And he just kept on keeping on. What made Joseph so resilient? What kept him going? How did he not give up for the comeback? Well, he did three things. I can share them with you really fast. Write these down, because these are the three things you need to do. No matter what life throws at you, which of these seven setbacks we've looked at in Joseph's life or any of the others we've looked at in the previous weeks, Joseph did three things that kept him going, that kept him resilient, that kept him keeping on until God turned the tide and brought him to the top position. Number one, here's the first thing that made him resilient. Joseph depended on God's presence no matter where he was. He depended on God's presence no matter where he was. You know, there's a phrase that's used in the story of Joseph five times. Now, anytime something is said five times in Scripture, God is saying, I want you to get the point here. And the thing that's used five times, it says, and the Lord was with Joseph. And the Lord was with Joseph. It says it five times. Now, I want you to notice that no matter what the setback was, God was with Joseph in that setback. First, God was with Joseph when they threw him in the pit. And God was with Joseph when they sold him to the traitors. The Bible tells us this. Acts 7, verse 9 says this. Jacob's sons became jealous of their brother Joseph, and they sold him to be a slave in Egypt. But, notice this, the Lord was with Joseph and brought him safely through all his troubles. Now look at that verse for just a minute. Brought him safely through all his troubles. It doesn't say spared him of his troubles. It says it brought him safely through. Circle the word safely. When you have God's presence in your life, it doesn't mean God's going to spare you troubles. It means God's going to bring you safely through. God could not spare Joseph of these troubles and get him to Egypt and bring him to eventually where he'd be second in command under Pharaoh. So Joseph had to go through these setbacks in order to have this big comeback, but he got him safely through it. I don't know what you're going through right now, but you're going through it. God could have taken you around it. God could have kept you out of it, but he's going to take you through it. He'll bring you safely through it. Why? Because God is with you. He was with Joseph in the pit. He's with you in the pit of despair, the pit of rejection. Then notice, second time the phrase is used, God was with Joseph when he sold to be a slave to Potiphar. Genesis 39, 1 and 2. Now when the slave traders arrived in Egypt, they sold Joseph to a man named Potiphar, who was one of Pharaoh's officials and a captain of the palace guard. This is a highly placed man. The Lord was with Joseph, so he became a successful man. Notice that. The Lord was with Joseph, so he became a successful man. He lived and served where? In the home of Egyptian master. Now notice, he could have been sold as a slave to anybody, but God engineered the fact that he sold as a slave to a guy who was the head of the palace guard in the palace of Pharaoh. He's living in Potiphar's palazzo, okay? He's not living in a shack. He's so successful as a slave. Why? Because the Lord was with him, and God was watching him. So he was watching him in the pit. He's watching him in the palazzo. He's with him all the time. Then number three, God was with Joseph when Potiphar promoted him from being a slave to his personal aide. Verses 3-5, Potiphar realized that the Lord was with Joseph. Notice, a non-believer realizes. Potiphar realized that the Lord was with Joseph. This is the third time this phrase is used. And that the Lord was making him successful in everything he did. Well, Potiphar's a smart guy. He goes, God's blessing this guy. I want this guy on my team. So Potiphar was very happy with Joseph's work, and he made him to be his personal aide. And he put Joseph in charge of everything in his home and trusting him with everything he owned. That's not slave work, friends. Then God blessed everyone working in Potiphar's household because of Joseph. Question, is God blessing everybody at your workplace because of you? God blessed everybody working in Potiphar's household because of Joseph.
You're listening to Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. We are so happy that you've chosen to study along with us today. If you'd like to receive hope and encouragement every day delivered right to your inbox, then sign up for Rick's free daily devotional by going to PastorRick.com right now. Rick will be back to close out our time today, but first, do you want to be happier, healthier, and more resistant to stress? Then you need to develop an attitude of gratitude. In fact, the Bible says we're to rejoice always, pray continually, and give thanks in all circumstances. But it can be difficult to feel grateful. So to help you, Pastor Rick hand-selected 52 verses to bolster your sense of gratitude and increase your happiness. This set of beautifully designed cards will help you memorize Scripture so you can recall God's Word when you need it most. You can also use them to minister to others. Give one to a friend and write a personalized note of encouragement on the back. If a scripture really speaks to you, frame it. Put them in places where you can read them during the day for encouragement. And today, when you give a gift to help Daily Hope take the hope of Jesus to a world in need, we'll send you the gratitude scripture card set to say thanks. Go to PastorRick.com right now to get your copy. Or you can just call 800-600-5004. There's only 2 days left to get this great resource, so don't wait. That's PastorRick.com or call 800-600-5004. Thanks so much for your support. And don't forget to let us know which radio station you heard us on. Here's Rick with a letter from one of our listeners.
Friends, today I want to share a letter from Dawn. She almost lost everything in a tragic car accident, but I want you to listen to how God worked in her life. She says, Pastor Rick, I was involved in a head-on collision on my way to work. I could not go to work for 3 months due to this accident. And because of this, I was terminated from my job. After months of not working, I was completely out of money and food, and my faith was beginning to get very, very thin. Now, I'm not going to sugarcoat it. I began to contemplate suicide. And I wondered if that would solve everything. And although I contemplated it, I continued to read and study my Bible every day. And then you started your series called Seeking God for a Breakthrough. And I honestly thought, Rick, that you were talking directly to me. I wondered how you, having never met me, could know what I exactly needed at that moment. I want to deeply thank you and God for this series because with tears rolling down my face, I prayed the prayer of commitment and dedicated my life to Jesus Christ. I had not felt such relief in such a long time. It was your teaching and the guidance in the Daily Hope podcast that has been a tremendous help to me. Wow. Thank you for writing, Dawn. I'm so sorry that you had to go through such a hard time, but I love the fact that you found hope and you found relief in listening to God's word on Daily Hope. You know, maybe you know someone today whose faith, like Dawn's faith, is very thin. Tell them about these Daily Hope messages. Please tell them. It may be the most important thing you do for somebody. The simple act of encouraging someone to listen to solid biblical teaching can help them start their journey back to God. You can make the difference for eternity.
If you'd like to bless Pastor Rick by letting him know how much this broadcast has helped you, please send him an email at rick@pastorrick.com. That's Rick@pastorrick.com. Be sure to join us next time as we look into God's Word for our daily hope. This program is sponsored by Pastor Rick's Daily Hope and your generous financial support.